Well, hello everybody and welcome back to Christmas Clatter. Oh, had a great episode last week of Thanksgiving with Jack. We are on the 29th of November as we're recording this, so that means tomorrow and then December hits. Holy cow. It's like as soon as October gets here, it's just a race to Christmas. I hope everybody's doing well and have all their planning and things done. Shopping's just about done. If you have anything that you're going to order or ship, please do it this weekend. Do not wait till next weekend. Do it this weekend. Everybody is covered up. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, everybody's covered up. So if there's anything you need to order, anything you want to ship to somebody for Christmas, get it done this weekend, please. Please, please, please. That way you're not disappointed. And it has plenty of time to get there. Also, guys, you need to go check out on YouTube, Johnny Mag's Barbecue. I did an episode with him over the weekend, a Christmas episode. He's got a great YouTube podcast all about barbecue and smoking and grilling and all that wonderful stuff. And had a real great conversation. I took one of his core beliefs and put it in a cup and shook it up and poured it out and changed his mind. I'm going to leave it at that. You have to go see the episode to find out exactly what we're talking about. But me and him were talking, and he's like, you know, barbecue is really not a part of Christmas. And I'm like, I don't know why. You know, if someone brought ribs to the house, I wouldn't be mad at Christmas time. So, you know, so I think we're going to have some stuff planned, hopefully for next year, you know, to throw some barbecue smoke and talk. And Ken's going to be on there this upcoming week too. Ken Smith from the North Pole News Dispatch. So check that out. Also on YouTube, I talked about the 1st of December. I will be starting my Advent calendar. And oh, the audio for Johnny's podcast just went up on iTunes and Spotify as well. So if you don't get a chance to check out the video, check out the audio version on iTunes or Spotify. So on YouTube, on starting December 1st, I will have my daily Advent calendar reveal. And so be looking out for that. I'll try to have them about the same time every day. Kind of gets a little tricky sometimes. But I think I revealed to the people on YouTube what it is. I don't think I've announced it to anybody else. And so we'll just leave it at that. I'll let it be a surprise for the very first one. And again, I feel like I'm forgetting to say something. I feel like there's something else I was needing to tell you guys. Oh, I don't have the essential Christmas music list completed yet. I will get that done very soon. Thanksgiving got away from me, and I just felt like putting all the gadgets and tech down. And me and Holly went and did some Black Friday shopping and, you know, spent some extra time with, you know, family and stuff like that. So, you know, priorities, you got to do that stuff. And it was a week off work for me, which is very rare at Thanksgiving. So instead of being in front of my computer screen, copy and pasting song titles into three different streaming services, I decided to go hit the Black Friday. So hope everybody got any good deals. You know, I'm going to say this, Black Friday is not what it used to be. It used to be a lot of fun. Yeah, it used to be really crazy, but it used to be a lot of fun. But, you know, it's so watered down anymore. Everything starts online, you know, basically end of October. And the deals aren't that great. And I just liked it when stores opened like at 6 a.m. and you had to be there at 3 a.m. to stand in line. Because that's when you had the hardcore go-getters. People that really wanted to be there when they started opening up at midnight or 10 p.m. on Thanksgiving, that was just the people that could just stay up late and go, you know. But when they started, you know, opening at 6 or even 4 a.m., that weeded out all the people that were just staying up late and just got to the people that just really wanted to be there for whatever reason. And me and Holly have been, we've considered ourselves Black Friday ninjas for a long time because we can get in and out of stores with the stuff we want because we learned early on, we don't go for the big ticket popular things. No sense in it. You know, if that's something you really want to get somebody, get it beforehand. you know, go for the smaller things that aren't so prized. That way you can get in and out and you can enjoy the rush of the crowd and all this. And always make sure that you check. Every store has an aisle. We call it aisle of regret, where they're standing in line to check out and they decide they really don't want this thing. Always double check the aisle of regret, because you'll never know what things that's on sale will be popped in there. So yeah, Santa Dad saying that is Generation X the last real Black Friday generation? I think maybe. Yeah, I think so. Maybe like older millennials, maybe. But I think so, because, you know, I'm towards the end of the Generation X. So by the time I was, you know, young adult and adult, I had what, you know, 15 or 20 good Black Friday years, you know, so. And some of them weren't that always that great, because, you know, stores just didn't know how to do it. I think peak Black Friday was like 2008 through 2010, because stores kind of had a system, but it was still like a free for all. And then after like 2010-ish, 2012, stores really figured it out, and they took a lot of the rushing in to get the thing away, which was fine, because it, you know, saved a lot of people from getting hurt and being idiots and stuff. But yeah, you know, online shopping's fine. I don't like it as well. Amazon set up to show me things I want to buy. But when I'm shopping for my 11-year-old daughter and my wife, that's not very helpful. The things I want to buy are not very helpful. And then there's something about walking up and down the aisles and the discoverability of that versus just like doom scrolling. Because on Amazon, you have to like search for something. Well, sometimes I don't know what to search for because I don't know what to get them. But when I can go like up and down an aisle and just kind of see everything that's available, then I get to discover. And I kind of miss that. You know, where I'm at, our stores are kind of pitiful, because they're kind of stuck in this loop of, well, we don't keep that stuff in stock because everybody buys online. And it's like, well, everybody buys online because you're not keeping this stuff in stock, you know, so which is it, you know? And so it's kind of, I'm sure there'll be a correction one way or the other, but, you know, it does feel like an end of an era for Black Friday. I remember on my second Christmas, I was going to play Black Friday Bingo, a game for the podcast, but that was Christmas. My second Christmas season was Christmas 2020. So that wasn't going to work. And it was something I always kept in my back pocket. I'm going to play this, you know, have this game with you guys, Black Friday Bingo, where you see, you know, if you see a couple of bros helping each other, you know, get a TV, then you get a checkpoint. If you get to see the mom with her newborn baby out at 2 a.m. trying to get something, then that's another, you know, spot on the card taken, and all those kind of cliche things that you always see on Black Friday. But it never worked out because of the pandemic, and then online shopping took over. So it's like, if you went out Black Friday this year, it's like, oh, it's just like a few extra people and that's it. But well, guys, I have a special show for you. I have my mom is joining me. She's a little bit reluctant. She's like, why do they want to talk to me for? And I'm like, well, because talked about you quite a bit on here. She's like, well, good thing I don't listen to every episode. and I was like, well, probably a good thing you don't either. But it's a real honor and a joy. It's something I know a lot of you guys have said something about in times past. I feel that she's kind of the reason behind all this Christmas craziness around us here. And so without any further ado, let's have a Christmas conversation with Mom. All righty, let's scoot you over here a little bit more, Mom. There we go. Let's see this microphone. There we go. I think that's better. So, well, Mom, thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for asking me. I think, hey, I've got to say this. Ken, I'm sure this is your fault. I've blamed you ever since Todd said something.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hope to see you next week still.
Yeah. So everybody that doesn't know, this is my mother, Connie Killian. She's the reason I am a crazy Christmas fanatic, because I get it, honestly, from her. And we're not ashamed about it. The picture on our thumbnail is me and her by ourselves. Went to Bronner's in Michigan last year just to do a little Christmas shopping. And, I forget, it was about a 12-hour drive or something like that, 11 hours something. But we had a good time. And guys in the chat, if you have any questions, let us know, because I know a lot of these stories. I was there. Just let us know. But, Mom, I want to start off asking you, because it's been a while since I heard you tell stories about your Christmases growing up. I know they were a lot different than what my Christmases were.
Yeah, they were. Stockings didn't have the cute little toys or gadgets in them. We got fruit and nuts in our stocking. Christmas trees were, of course, they weren't artificial, so you didn't put them up till a couple weeks before Christmas, and just very sparsely decorated. Probably my best Christmas ever. I was 5 years old. My dad made me a table and chairs and a cabinet. I got the little blue and white china, and they about killed me because 3 months I ate off that little dishes at that little table. But anyway, it was fun. It was a good Christmas, you know. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad didn't go all out like I do. I don't know where I got it from.
Yeah. I don't know either, because you know, it seemed like dad's side of the family, Grandma Killian and Grandpa Killian, did go way more out.
They did.
And Dad loves Christmas, but not nothing like we do.
No.
So I'm not sure.
He complains every year.
Yeah.
So he doesn't complain about Christmas. He complains about the house being torn upside down and nothing. It looks like Christmas threw up in my house.
Yeah. That was always something that felt a little, I don't want to say odd, that's kind of the wrong word, but it's like he grew up in a very Christmas loving house, and he's like cool with it, but not over the moon. And then yours was a little bit more relaxed, but then you just exploded. And best I remember, you were always, you know, a Christmas fanatic, even though, you know, a lot of times we just had the one tree and stuff because the house was smaller growing up. And
yeah. We only had room for one tree.
Right.
We have room for 25 trees now.
Yeah.
And more, maybe.
Yeah. 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 There's definitely room for more if you have the energy to do it. People in the chat, Pepper Tree Villa, that's Arnie and Doug, they have 33 and a half trees in their house.
How many?
33 and a half.
I have a half tree. I have 25 and a half. I forgot my half
tree. Okay. 25 and a half. So
I got to catch up to do.
So we might have to start Christmas tree wars with Pepper Tree Villa.
I tell ya. You know, started for next year.
We'll go for a full 34 trees. And but
I can always hang several from the ceiling in the living room.
Yeah, we'll build a whole nother level.
There you go.
Don't think we won't either, because we will.
So, one more good day.
One more good day. That's our motto. One more good day. But it's just, you know, I got this little plastic Santa that you found. I think I showed the people some time ago that had the sucker in it, and from your childhood and stuff. And that's just one of my favorite things I keep here, you know, on the desk and stuff, because it, you know, it's cool. It's kind of the Christmassy stuff I like and things. But, that surprised me. And correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you tell me a story one time that one year you went and picked out your own Christmas presents and wrapped them?
Oh, I did. Yeah. That was very upsetting. I was probably about 12 or 13, kind of getting at that age where you feel like you're too old for toys, but you don't want practical stuff. That's a difficult age for kids. And my mom wasn't much of a shopper, so she took me to town and had me to pick out everything I wanted. Then I had to take it home and wrap it and put it under the tree. That was a bummer of a Christmas. I swear that would never happen to my kids.
Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe that was it.
Maybe that was the edge. Maybe that was the Christmas that changed everything.
Could have been.
You know, but it's just, it's interesting. And that, you know, Grandma and Grandpa Burns have been gone for a while, but they always enjoyed Christmas. And, mm-hmm. and, in fact, they were married on Christmas Eve, weren't they?
Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh. And, yeah. So we would always go over there on Christmas Eve to celebrate Christmas with that side of the family. And then we went to Dad's side on Christmas mm-hmm. lunchtime afternoon and things. But, yeah, they never really it always, you know, looking back, they never really decorated a lot for Christmas. They always had like the ceramic tree kind of thing, but it always felt like Christmas in there for some reason at Christmas time. I don't know.
Grandma and Grandpa Killian's?
Grandma and Grandpa Burns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Grandma and Grandpa Killian really, they really decorated as much as they could. But yeah, Grandma and Grandpa Burns, but it always, you know, I just kind of remember a ceramic tree on the TV or mm-hmm. something, but it always felt like Christmas. And I just don't know if that's because Granny was in there just always baking and cooking away or whatever.
Cooking up a storm. Yeah.
Yeah. My Grandma Burns made these chocolate chip cookies that were like the smallest little chocolate chip cookies that you could find. But they had like a whole bag of chocolate chips in each cookie. I don't know.
I don't know how she did it.
I don't either.
And they stuck together.
Yeah, they stuck together. They didn't fall apart or nothing. They were. It's like, how in the world did you do that? But they weren't very flat either.
The secret went with her.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they weren't, they were almost like cookie balls just about because they were kind of thick, but they were small around. But yeah, I always remember eating those thinking, how did she get this many chocolate chips and this small of a cookie?
And
but,
she would stuff you full of those and Pepsis.
Yep, she did.
Yep.
And then send me home. So we have a few questions here. A lot of questions revolving around Cookie Day.
Oh, that's next, a week from Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Arnie and Doug at Pepper Tree is wanting to know, what's your best cookie, you think?
Oh, crap. I'm sorry. Ooh. What, the one I like the best or the one that goes over the best?
Either one.
My favorite is, I'm torn between the marshmallow sandwich and the orange slice cookie as far as my favorite. Todd did an episode a few years ago on Cookie Day, and it's mixed as far as who likes what. One year we had the molasses cookie, went like crazy. I think I ended up running out of them. The next year I don't think they were touched. So I guess it's card to who's at Cookie Day, what they like. I usually try to add one or two, sometimes three new ones. This year, I think we got 33 plus 4 or 5 sugar-free cookies. So if you're a diabetic, there's a few, not too many.
Yeah.
You got to have the sugar rush. I've tried a few new ones this year. Holly tried one that I baked yesterday or the day before. That's a chocolate chai snickerdoodle. I've not tasted it. She said it was really good. So it's kind of like a spice cookie, I guess. But anyway, so, sure, you'll find something you like.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So there's a lot. Holly's already up here saying that I just lost her comment. Hang on. Holly's already up here claiming that the marshmallow sandwich is her favorite. But yeah. So, yeah. I had you a little too quiet a second ago. I had to boost you. So hopefully that won't be too bad. Yeah, Jessica's wanting to know. She's like, if you have a long time family cookie recipe, they have one that's at least 5 generations old, which is very cool.
Not that I know of. The orange slice cookie I got from my mom, but I don't know where she got it from. And it was a Depression cookie. That was my dad's favorite. I've got to make that one every year.
Yeah.
And it's an old bake cookie.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it is. And it's still one of the most popular.
It is. It is.
And I think it's just because there's nothing else like it. You know, and it's just, there's just nothing there that's just, you know, because you can get like, you know, certain cookies kind of compete with each other, very similar as far as, you know, what's in them. But the orange slice is just so much different than the others. Ken's got one here. Have I always been a troublemaker?
I don't know, Ken. I've only met you once. Oh, you asked me about
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Ken.
Yeah. So no, Ken, I've never been a troublemaker ever in my life.
Has Todd always been a troublemaker? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Ken. I misunderstood that. Yes, he has been. Sorry.
Now,
ask his older sister.
Yeah, she'll probably never come on the podcast for certain reasons.
Probably not. His sister's not a big Christmas person.
No, no, she likes it, you know, but she's not, she's more like dad, not, yeah, you know, not just overly good. Although her youngest daughter is becoming a fanatic.
Oh, Kendall is. Yeah. Kendall's quite crazy about Christmas, but Dana's, she loves Christmas and she loves the house to be decorated. She just don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I got a couple of kids working on that Christmas fanatic. I know Taylor's pretty fanatical at times. And, and Alex really likes Christmas quite a bit too. In fact, this year when we got home from our beach vacation, first thing he did was turn on, well, he listened to Christmas music all the way home and stuff, but, he turned on some Christmas music in the house and was ready to go.
Good boy, Alex. So,
Dwayne wants to say hi from New Zealand. So,
Hi.
Yeah. Dwayne, he does Tinsel Tunes podcast and he does these synchronized lights, tunes and Christmas lights. He's
jump on a plane next week and join us for cookie day.
Well, we've kicked around the idea of setting up a GoFundMe because he knows a lot of us here in the States that do the Christmas podcast and having him do a United States tour, see everybody. So Mikey's wanting to know, are there any movies or music you listen to when you're baking the cookies?
I don't listen to music. I mean, not to movies, but yeah, I like Christmas music on. I like a variety of Christmas music. I like the oldies. I'm an Elvis fan. Celine Dion, I love her. And I like some of the country songs. I like the Waltons, believe it or not. Yeah. I like their Christmas songs. But I like to have the Christmas music on because I'd be wanting to stop and watch a movie, but
yeah. You're more like me. If I had to take one and leave the other, I'd take the Christmas music over the movies.
Yeah.
Although I enjoy the movies, you know, I just enjoy the Christmas music a little bit more.
And you got to have Christmas music on when you're decorating.
Oh, you can't decorate without it.
It just doesn't go right.
Yeah. I can't decorate. I remember I've told this story a few times on the podcast. I don't know if I ever told you or not, but, it was like the first Christmas I wasn't living at home. So it'd been like, 99 or something like that. And it was like, just didn't feel like Christmas because I wasn't home. And I remember I stopped in at your house for something and you was like baking and it was decorated. And I was like, man, how's this happen? And then that's when I realized it's like, Christmas doesn't happen by accident. You know?
Somebody's got to do it.
You know? And so it's like, I went to my house and then it was like, just, you know, turned on the Christmas music and just did what I could with what little we had to decorate with and stuff. But yeah, it was like a valuable lesson, you know, to learn that it just doesn't happen. So, cookie day is on December 8th this year. And, it's a Friday, so it'll be a week from this upcoming Friday. So, but yeah, I just remember that just like going to the house and it was like empty and because we had barely had any furniture and stuff and things. And I was like, man, this is depressing. You know, I got to do something. And I think that's, you know, when it really sunk in that how much I just really love Christmas, because it was easy to take it for granted. Cause it's like, I'd go to school one day and then I'd come home and the house would be decorated, you know,
elves came in.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause, my mom, she used to work really fast, but back in her younger days.
Yeah, she slowed down a lot.
Still faster than the most. I still remember that one year you decorated in August.
Oh, that was a little bit early for me even. I had the two youngest grandkids, which were, they're a year and 8 days apart, and I kept them all the time. Mm-hmm. And your dad was going to be out of town for a week. And my sister said, that was in August, I'll watch the two little girls for you if you want to decorate. So, man, I jumped on it. I decorated that whole house in a week. I mean, I was up at before the crack of dawn and up till real late. And your dad came home on Friday night and walked in the house. He says, Christmas already? I just looked at him small and said, you've been gone a long time. But that was a little bit early for me. October's great, though. I don't mind October.
Yeah, absolutely. But Ken's wanting to know, what is the most difficult cookie you make for Cookie Day?
The most difficult one. I haven't got it done yet, Ken, but I think this one I'm doing, it's something lace. I've got the dough made up. I have not baked it yet, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be fun because the dough is supposed to spread away from the chocolate and the nuts, and you have to raise the edges of the dough up to make it look like lace. I'll let you know next week how that turns out. If you don't find it, it's because I've dumped them all.
Which has happened before.
The marshmallow sandwich is not difficult. It's just so doggone time-consuming because you have... I've tried doing two or three at a time, but it doesn't work well. You have to do one cookie with a marshmallow on top of it in the microwave to melt it, then put the other cookie on top of it. That is just doggone time consuming one cookie at a time.
Yeah. Holly is asking, is the divinity the hardest thing to make?
No. The divinity's not.
No. Because we always hear that divinity is really hard to make.
I've so far done okay. I made divinity, I think it was last Friday. Yeah, weather kind of plays a role in it, but that's the only candy I really make. And I don't know why I make it. I don't eat it.
I don't eat it, but it always disappears.
It does. You know? It's so sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know why I make it. Well, Cassie likes it, believe it or not. She didn't like much sweets, but that's my oldest granddaughter, but yeah.
Yeah. I've tried it a couple times, and it's like...
Yeah,
you know, but then it's there's never any extra, you know. So Holly says it's because you're an expert.
Oh,
so,
thank you, Holly. Yeah. She's a sweet daughter-in-law.
Yeah, she's pretty good. So Jessica's wanting to know, of all the trees that you put up, what's your favorite and what's your favorite ornament?
My favorite tree is my black Christmas tree. You can't tell it's black, and I decorate it with silver and off-white and green. My favorite ornament. Oh, golly. I only have about 500,000, I think. It's probably the ornaments of my grandkids. I have a grandkid tree in the dining room that it just has pictures of my six grandkids and their initials and ornaments with their birth dates on them. Because that holds special meaning to me.
Yeah.
But as far as picking out one ornament, I don't think I could, because every year when I'm unwrapping them and putting them up, I think, oh, I forgot about this one. I really like this one. And, of course, I still hang ornaments on the tree that Todd and his sister made in elementary school. Those will always be up there because I'm a sentimental nut. And those go on our main tree, the 10-foot tree in the living room. And it's got, how many ornaments that thing got on it, Todd? A lot.
I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, because it's covered inside and out. It's not like just hanging them on the outside.
Oh, no, you got to go deep.
Yeah. It's got to, I would say it's easily 1,000.
Oh, yeah. The very largest storage tubs you can buy, it's got two or three of those that are full of ornaments on that one tree. Plus everything else I put on it.
So, yeah.
You know, you can't over-decorate.
No.
I got to stress this to all you Christmas nuts. You cannot over-decorate for Christmas. You just can't.
No, you can't. You can't. And I tell people too, because, you know, we're starting to put up more and more trees and everybody's like, how you do it? And it's like, well, theme trees are the way to go. You have one tree that's kind of like, I always call it the scrapbook tree, where it's got all the sentimental stuff and the stuff you've had for a while. And then when you theme the other trees, it just makes it easier to be able to get them up and decorated.
Yeah.
You know, and things. Holly says that the main tree, all the ornaments come out of Mary Poppins' carpet bag, where it's just never ending. It just keeps, there's, it wouldn't, I say at least 1,000. It wouldn't surprise me if there's 2,000 on that tree.
Maybe we need to count them when we
talk. Well, I was hoping Holly did count them when she was helping you this year. Did she help put those on?
She helped some, but I don't think she counted them because she wasn't there every time.
Well, when you go to take them off, we'll get one of them clicker counters for Dad. So he can sit there and click them.
That'd give you something
to do. Give him something to do.
Then he can make a spreadsheet.
Yeah, well, as long as he don't fall asleep. You know, and lose count. So, but that would be, Doug and Arnie are wanting to know you ever made any other Christmas treats like a Panettone or a Yule log? Not that I remember anyway. Did you try a fruitcake one time?
No, I don't like those.
No, yeah. I don't. It's always been cookies for the holidays.
I figure 5,000 cookies is enough.
Yeah, 28 different kinds. That's
33.
Oh, you did 33 now?
33 plus 4 or 5 sugar free.
Oh, last I heard it was 28.
Well, where have you been?
Working. Been at work.
So you have a few more to memorize.
Ken wants me to get him a list and send it over to him so he can have it memorized before he shows up.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah. Spreadsheet for Arnie. Spreadsheet for him as you're talking my language. Yeah, I've considered it because it's just, this is way off subject, but I've considered doing like a spreadsheet of ornaments, and then you can print off those QR codes and then putting those in a tub. That way you can scan it with your phone and it'll tell you everything that's in that tub.
Instead of my little note.
Instead of the little label with it's got about 1,000 kitchen, scratch, scratch, living room, scratch, scratch, whatever, you know.
I quit doing it on the outside of the tote. So I put a little piece of paper on the inside of the tote. So when I open it up, I can say, this goes to the kitchen, this goes to the dining room. This goes.
Yeah. I'm like Dad. I have a lot of these high ideas that you just don't get done. They have a scrapbook tree too, Arnie and Doug at Pepper Tree. They call it the Nostalgia Tree, and that's a good name for it. Yeah, Santa Dad, St. Louis. If you're wanting to come, St. Louis is where to fly into because it's just right at just
2 hours
shade under, depending on traffic.
Straight down 55 south.
Yeah. Don't fly into Memphis.
Oh, man, Lord, no.
No, don't do that. And anything else is too far away. So, it's just one of those things. Yeah.
Is there still a flight from St. Louis to Cape?
I don't know. I think they've changed that 1,000 times.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where the QR inventory is where Ernie's wanting to go. So, let me ask you this. Is there a Christmas story that always just sticks out to you as one of your favorites?
Story, like family story?
A memory or?
I think one of the funnest Christmases I had after you kids got grown is when I sent you on a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, it's for you people that are experiencing your kids getting older and the grandkids getting older, Christmas kind of loses a little bit of something if you don't have little ones in the house. So I try to keep things a little exciting. So it's just been a few years ago that I sent Todd and his family and his sister and her daughters on a scavenger hunt all through town. Mm-hmm. And I had contacted family and friends and had clues at their houses. They were even at the cemetery having to take pictures to send to me. And I'm standing there in my kitchen on my phone. They're calling me for more clues. They're sending me pictures and I'm roaring. It was fun. Because I had to send them different directions so they wouldn't just follow each other.
Yeah.
That was a fun Christmas. I loved that one. And of course, the Christmas that Dad made my table and chairs, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really think of a bad Christmas, except the year I had to pick out my own Christmas gifts. I haven't put them in a tree. That one wasn't good.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't think of anything. I love Christmas. Yeah. Christmas is just upbeat. It's a good time of year.
Yeah, it's a good time to, enjoy company and reflect on the year that's passed and look forward to the year that's ahead.
Yeah, I love having family over. I love having the house full of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you always do.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we grew up. You just never knew who was going to be at dinner.
Nope.
You know, I'd bring a couple buddies over or a buddy over and just, they just show up and they're like, they're here to eat. And you're like, okay. So I never. Yeah. Ken wants to know how many people think show up for cookie day.
Last year we had just a few, around 150 to 155. I think I counted last year. We always have a few that slip out without signing the guest registry. Mm-hmm. This year, I think we're going to be down a little bit in number only for the fact that a church in Cape that my daughter attends, they put on a program. They haven't done it for a few years, called Humbug to Hallelujah. So a bunch of those that always come for Cookie Day will not get to come this year because the play starts that night.
Right.
But I have agreed, by your sister's request, they will have a special cookie night after the program's over the following Monday so they can attend, because they always attend. So
yeah.
So we'll probably be down just a little bit in number this year, but who knows, you know?
Well, there probably might be a few show up anyway from there.
Yeah, they could be, yeah.
Because I think they've done that in the past, so. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's a big production and a lot going on mm-hmm. last minute and stuff, because they really don't get that theater till like the week before. So mm-hmm. there's a lot to do, a lot of troubleshooting and that stuff. So, but that's completely understandable. You know, when did we start hunting for the Christmas varmints? Was I still living at home?
I don't think so. I don't think it was till we've always given you and Dana a special Hallmark ornament mm-hmm. every year for Christmas, but I don't think it was until we did the remodel and I hit them on the big tree.
Okay, that's right.
So it'd be like 19 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. For those that don't know, Mom's got that 10-foot tree, and like we said, it's just decked out with ornaments, you know, at least 1,000, maybe more, and she'll go buy a Hallmark ornament for me and my sister and you know, and our whole family, and she'll put them on the tree. She'll hide them on the tree, and then she'll give us the box. We'll unwrap it to see what the ornament is, but we have to go find it on that tree before we can move on with anything else Christmas. And sometimes we hung around that tree for quite a while trying to find stuff and things. And it's always a lot of fun, and we've gotten fairly good at it.
So. Yeah.
But
they help each other out.
Yeah, we started helping each other out. And plus, Dad put the tree up on a platform, so it's a little taller. Yeah. And Mom can't reach everywhere, so that makes it easier to...
Unless you get the ladder in.
Yeah, so... But, you know, so that's always been a lot of fun. But I always remember the year that you bought me all the burgundy shirts from Goodwill.
Oh, yeah. I went in there and bought every shirt they had that was burgundy. Women's, men's, kids, I don't care what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of Christmases in a row, I told this story years ago. Mom bought me a dress shirt for Christmas, and it was burgundy, and I wasn't a big fan of burgundy. I wear it now.
You look good burgundy.
I wear it now, but at the time I didn't like it. And then like the next year you bought me another one. I can't remember if you just bought me one 2 or 3 years in a row. But anyway, I finally said something about, yeah, I got the burgundy shirt again. You know, I think it was 3 years in a row you bought me one, and I never wore it. And so the next Christmas, everything I unwrapped was some kind of burgundy shirt from like Goodwill. It was like way too big, way too small, women's, kids sizes, just all. I bet you had 25 burgundy shirts.
I did. I had lots of burgundy.
Just sit there and unwrap burgundy shirt after burgundy shirt.
Got to where you're just ripping paper off, throwing them in the floor, ripping
them floor. Oh, but that I kind of got started because when I was 14 or 15, you took me to the mall to do some Christmas shopping. I bought you something. I bought Dad something, and I switched the name tags. Mm-hmm. And I aggravate and Dad had a book, and I put it in a shoebox so it would just slide and thump from side to side. And I spent a month and a half every day aggravating Mom. What's your Christmas present? Thump, thump, thump. You know, I'd let her shake it and just thump, 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 you know, because I had bought her a shirt, a sweatshirt. It's like she would know what that was as soon as she sees the box, you know, so that's why I switched the tags. And so every day I get home from school or in the morning, I'd just be like, what'd I get you? And thump, 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 thump. And so her and Dad were sitting there. And I was going to hand them their gifts. I had the one I've been teasing my mom with and the one that was actually hers, you know, this hand where Dad was sitting had the one for Mom. This hand where Mom was sitting had ones for Dad that I've been teasing her with, you know, like, what's in the box. And she's sitting there like, she's like, great, I finally get to see what's in this box. And I walk up and I switched them. So she had been shaking the wrong box the whole time. So
yeah, made it game on.
Yeah, that was game on, and we just start pranking each other from there on out. Yeah. and having a lot of fun with it. But Dwayne wants to know if there's any cookie bouncers in case a biscuit turns up. Nah, we take a biscuit, man. Yeah. So, yeah. But Ken wants to know, how did Cookie Day get started? You want to tell this story?
Well, actually, this would be the 28th year. Mm-hmm. I was baking cookies for Christmas, and Dana and Todd was at the house. And our youth pastor at the time, Dave Tricone, I told Dana, I said, get on the phone, call Dave, see what kind of cookies he likes. Well, he was at the church. He just said, your mom's making cookies. I'll be right there. Well, he came up, and of course, I was just making a small amount of cookies for our family. And the four of us sat around that afternoon and ate cookies and visited and talked about it all year. The next year, everybody wanted to know when I was going to make cookies again. And Dave showed up, Todd and his sister Dana, and a few other friends they invited. Anyway, it just one of those things that snowballed. I don't think anybody within their right mind sets out to make 5,000 cookies at home. I don't think. Maybe there's somebody else dumb like me. But anyway, it just snowballed. Then the next year it'd be like, when are you going to make cookies? So it's like, okay, I got to add more cookies now. And it mm-hmm. got to where I couldn't make the dough up and bake in that time. I got to make the dough up now and freeze it mm-hmm. and spend 2 weeks baking them. But I love it.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted when it's over, but I love it. Like I said, I love having more people that comes, the happier I am.
Yeah.
The years we have the big snow and we only have a few people show up, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
But last year when we had 150, that was great.
Yeah. I remember our first cookie day in this, was it the first one in this house or second one? I can't remember. Maybe the second one, because Taylor was a little older, but still small. Second one, we had a big snow, like knee deep snow. And I live just a couple of blocks, a quarter mile maybe, to walk, you know, from mom and dad's house. And we tried to get our car out, but it couldn't go anywhere. And in fact, we were stuck in the road. So a neighbor on his four-wheeler came in and just helped us, like, push it off in the yard. We couldn't even get it back up the driveway. And so we bundled up. Me and Holly bundled up all, you know, four kids. And I took Taylor, who was like one, and put her here in my chest and then zipped her up in my coat and held her. And luckily, being a mailman, I got pretty good snow ice walking skills over the years. And I told Holly, I was like, I'm going with Taylor. I said, if you can handle, you know, the three older ones. She's like, that's fine. And we ended up just walking over there for cookie day. And there were a few people that braved it. But yeah, it was wild. But we usually don't get that much snow that early. No. It was just kind of one of those
freak things.
One of those years. But yeah, I remember cookie days when you would actually be baking the cookies that day.
Yeah, that became crazy because if you was there first thing in the morning, you only got maybe two different kinds, you know.
Right.
So that had to quit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then and you were like, I want to visit with people, not sit there and bake cookies.
Mm-hmm. So Monday started my baking day. Uh-huh. So that's what I have done this week.
Yeah.
And that's what I will do the rest of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people might be wondering, it's like, you know, cookie day's over a week away. Tell them how you keep the cookies fresh.
You put a piece of bread in the airtight container with them, but put that bread on a piece of wax paper because otherwise the cookies underneath them will get soggy. And the bread takes the moisture away, and you have to change it about every day because it gets hard, and that keeps the cookies fresh.
It does. It does. Just get that cheap white bread mm-hmm. and switch it out every day, and those cookies in that container will stay fresh all through the holidays. Even after Christmas, yeah. They'll still be fresh.
After the first of the year.
Yeah. And it's a really, really great way to preserve the cookies when you have to make that many, because mm-hmm. it'd be sad to make that many, then they all get dried up in a week or two.
Yeah, that would be.
But, well, Mom, I appreciate you hopping on here with me.
You're welcome. I thought we was going to talk about Easter.
Next episode.
Okay.
So we don't put as, we, We don't put up as many Easter trees as we do Christmas trees. But yeah, Jessica says she does that trick too with her cookies.
Yeah, so, it works.
Yeah, it does work. It works very well. And in that, but guys in the chat, just stick with us. We'll be with you here shortly. But thanks for joining me. First time on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, long time listener, first time caller, kind of thing.
Yeah, no. I'll talk to Ken next week.
Yeah. But guys, thanks so much for joining us here on Christmas Clatter. And don't forget the Advent calendar starting up this weekend on YouTube. And there'll be more about Cookie Day coming up. And I'll probably go live on Cookie Day, probably on Instagram. And just at least once, maybe a couple times. And we'll just have to see, play it by ear. But thanks for being here. And until I see you again, remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.